pay attention. You start to lose your ability to focus. You start to lose your ability to hear and to respond to the things around you. The same thing in a spiritual realm. Now, we talked about that last night, and that knowing the time, it is now high time to awake out of sleep. But the problem is sometimes we don't know the time. See, because if you're not sensitive to the Spirit of God, and you're not sensitive to the Word of God, and you're not sensitive to the movement of the Spirit of God in your life, that you don't know the time, because you're falling asleep. Now is our salvation nearer when we first believe. It says, the night is far spent. In other words, time is running out. As Bob was just saying, tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock. Time has a limit on it. Time has a limit on it. There's a story, I tell this story because God used it in my life, but I would say the average age here would be, say, 12 or 13 years old. Am I right about that? The average age, 12, 13? I was in a motorcycle accident with a friend of mine. He was on a motorcycle coming this way. I was on a motorcycle coming this way. We had a head-on collision. He was 13 years old, just turned 13. He broke his neck and died. God told me, I'm going to show you how frail life is at a young age. Now, sometimes you don't think life is that frail because death hasn't sunk his ugly claws into you. And you think you can just go on and you've got all the time in the world. You need to understand how frail life really is. You need to understand that life is so frail. The Bible says your life is like a hand breath. The Bible says our life is like a vapor. It just appears for a little while and then poof, it just vanishes away. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Now is our salvation nearer when we first believe. Now it says here, and let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. We're going to talk about that. So we talked about waking you up last night. But there's another problem that happens in this world. And in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, when we're grappling, you put a choke on somebody, okay? And I don't know if anyone ever here has been choked out. I would like to choke somebody out tonight for an example, but we'll let that part pass. Now, if I were to choke you out, here's what happens. You no longer get the blood flowing into your brain. You no longer get the oxygen and the air to breathe. And then all of a sudden, you go to sleep. And every time somebody goes to sleep, when they get choked out, they always snore. It's the craziest thing, Bob. Bob, they go like this, and they just start snoring. And so what happens is we got a thing in class. When the guy goes to sleep, somebody put him to sleep with a choke. When he wakes up, we sing happy birthday to him. Because the guy who just woke up is like, what happened? And we're like, guess what, buddy? You were out like a light. He goes, what do you mean I was out like a light? He didn't even know he went to sleep. They wake up and they're like, what's everyone doing at my house in my bedroom? No, you're at the gym. You were just choked out. They lose all function and capacity to think clearly and correctly. Now, the Bible says over here, you'll open up your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. Luke, chapter 8. So when somebody gets choked out, they don't think clearly. They lose sense of reality, and they lose the ability to function because they were choked out. If you look at your Bibles, Luke chapter 8 and verse 14, Jesus is speaking of the parable of the seed. And we know what happens. He gives the interpretation in chapter 8, verse 14. He says, and that which fell among the thorns are they which when they have heard, go forth and say it out loud, the word.
Choked.
No, come on. They're what?
Choked.
They're choked. They're choked. They're choked. And what are they choked with? It says with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. And it says they bring no forth fruit to perfection. So you know what chokes them? The cares, the riches, and the pleasures of this life. And they get choked out. Now remember, when they get choked out, what happens is the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life cause them to lose function in a spiritual realm. They can't think any longer. They're so consumed with the cares and they're consumed with the riches and the pleasures of this life that they no longer think clearly or reasonably or rationally any longer. Their senses have completely shut down. And when you get choked out, you fall asleep. Now, one of the things we have to do is when they fall asleep, this is one of the things we always do. The guy's out like a light, snoring. So I have to come over, or somebody else will come over, and we grab them by the legs. And then we pick their legs up and we shake their legs. That's how you wake them up. How many guys ever seen anything like that happen? Anyone in this room? And that's what we do. We've got to pick them up by the legs and shake their legs, and then they wake up. Guys, the Bible uses that word very specifically. They get choked. This is why we have to shake you up in a camp like this and help you to think about what is real and about what isn't real. To help you to wake up, to be sober, to be watchful, to be vigilant, to be alert to the spiritual world. Because the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life, they will choke you to such an extent where you won't be able to think about God. You won't be able to think about His Word. You won't be able to think about the Holy Spirit. You won't understand the movement of the Spirit of God. You won't do what God's called you to do because the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life, they will choke you out and put you to sleep. And you won't even know it. That's the scary part of it. See, when you, this is what happens. When somebody has fallen asleep to the gospel, to the things of God, they don't even know it. They're just living life. They can't relate to the spiritual realm. They can't focus on the spiritual realm. They can't discern or understand or pay attention to the unseen world. Because of the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life, they choke them. And they go to sleep, spiritually speaking. The cares, the riches, and just the pleasures of life. Listen, guys, these things aren't even sin. It's talking what? Cares, riches, and wealth, and pleasures of this life. And what happens? They bring forth no fruit to perfection. Now they can't produce the fruit that God wants them. Now they can't produce the 9 fruits of the Spirit in Galatians. Now they can't walk in the Spirit. Now they can't win souls. Why? It's because they're choked out. This is why a lot of Christians can't win souls. They can't bring forth fruit. They can't walk in the fruit of the Spirit that talks about in the book of Galatians, the 9 fruits of the Spirit. They can't produce those fruits because they're choked out. Because of the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. So now what happens? So now we woke you up, okay? We wake these people up, right? The night is what? Far spent. Now think about it. When you wake up in the morning, what's one of the first things you do? You wake up, and what do? You get up, and you what? You dress up, right? Don't you dress up? But before you can dress up, you've got to take off your night clothes. So there's going to be things in your life that you've got to take off, and there's going to be things in your life that you've got to put on. When you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing you do? You wake up, you wash up, and you dress up. Let me show you how this works. Let's look back at our text in Romans and watch what it says. And that knowing the time, it is now high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer when we first believe. Now listen to this. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of what? Darkness, and let us put on the armor of what? Light. So we've got to take some things off and we've got to put some things on. Okay, guys? Now you have to understand this, right? There's things in your life that you have to take off, that you've got to lay aside, that you've got to get rid of if you're going to do anything for God. Because these things will keep you from serving God. These things will keep you from doing what God's called you to do. So you have to take certain things off and put certain things on. Now it says here in Romans chapter 13, let's look at verse 13. It says here, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness. Now, these are sinful things, okay? rioting, that's wild partying, drunkenness, getting drunk. We see that chambering, that's sleeping around, wantonness, that's desiring things of the world, not in strife, fighting with people, in envy. Verse 14. But notice what verse 14 says. It says, put ye on the what? The Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone with me over there? Look at verse 14, Romans chapter 13 and verse 14. It says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone say it with me. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That means you have to be clothed by him. Now, the first thing you have to put on in Jesus Christ is you have to put on his righteousness. All right? This is what it means to be saved. Okay? It means that you are no longer walking in the filthy rags of your sin, that you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what he does? He clothes you in his righteousness. He covers you in his blood, and he clothes you in his righteousness. So what do? We wake up. And now, once you've truly been awakened by the Spirit of God, the first thing you realize is that all your righteousness are as filthy rags, and you know that you need to run to Jesus Christ and put on his righteousness. This is an act of the Holy Spirit. When somebody getting saved, right? I've seen this countless times in my life. They start to come to the truth of God's word. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit enlightens them and opens up their eyes. And the Spirit of God shows them that even their righteousness are as filthy rags, and that they're clothed in sinful rags. And even their righteousness is filthy. And they know they need Jesus. And what do? They run to Jesus, and he clothes them in his righteousness. That's what it means to be a Christian. To put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Now, once this happens in your life, okay, this is an act of the Spirit of God. You see yourself for who and what you really are. And you realize that in you, that is in your flesh, dwells no good thing. And you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You put on his righteousness. Then we got to think about this now. Okay, we take off these things. We take them off. I have to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the act of the Holy Spirit of God is for you to want to be clean. Okay? You know how you know that you've been awoken by the Spirit of God? Because now you want to be clean. Now you want the Word of God to cleanse you. You want the Spirit of God to clean you. You want the blood of Jesus Christ to wash all your sins away. That's how you know that you've been awakened. That's how you know that you've been quickened by the living Spirit of God. Because the Spirit shows you how dirty and unclean you are. And then you want to be made clean. Because the Spirit has showed you how dirty you are, and you don't like it. Now watch how this works. Turn to the book of James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 7. James chapter 4 and verse 7. So after you've been woken up, what do? You wash up and you clean up. James chapter 4. Look at verse 7, James chapter 4. It says, submit yourselves, verse 7, James 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. It says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. It says in verse 8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Listen to this. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. It says, cleanse your hands, you double-minded. So when somebody and the Holy Spirit has woken you up, aroused something in you, and the eyes of your understanding are illuminated, what does that Spirit do? Shows you how dirty you are. Shows you how sinful you are. And then you ask Jesus Christ, oh Lord, create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. And you know you need to be clean. You see, this is an act of the Spirit of God. When you've truly been awakened by the Spirit of God, God shows you your sinful condition. God shows you how dirty and evil and wicked you really are. And you don't want to be that way because you fell under the conviction of the Spirit. And you run to Jesus and ask him for his righteousness. And you ask God to cleanse you. and to make you clean. You know why God has that given us that Bible? Wherewith shall a young man what? Cleanse his way by taking heed thereunto according to thy word. You know what that word of God does? We bring you to a camp like this, and you know what we're trying to do? We're trying to get you clean. We're trying to get everyone in this room clean. How do we do that? With the word of the living God. The only thing that can cleanse you is the blood of Jesus Christ. And then after you've been cleansed in the blood, we do the washing of the water of the Spirit of God in the word of God. You know how important that Bible is to you? It cleanses your mind, your heart, and your soul. The counselors, and they try to give you memory verses. Why? Because it's the word of God that'll clean your mind. It's the word of the living God that'll cleanse your soul and your thoughts and your emotions and your heart. The word of God is what cleanses you. It's what washes you, and it's what keeps you clean. It's the only thing we have. After you've been awoken by the Spirit. Now, like the Bible says, as newborn babes, what do they desire? They desire the sincere milk of the word. Well, why? That baby that has just been born, it cries out for its mother's milk. Why? Because it has gone from what? A womb. It gone from there to there. And now it cries out for the milk of the word. Because the word feeds us. The word cleanses us. The word makes us the people that God's called us to be. In the book of Isaiah, don't turn there, I'm going to read it to you. It says here in Isaiah 1 verse 16, don't turn there, I'll read it. It says here, Isaiah 1, 16 through 18, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Look at this, learn to do well, seek judgment, revive oppression, judge the fatherless, plead for a widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be like wool. After you've been awoken up, what do? We need to clean up. There are things you need to put on, and there are things you need to put off. You need to wash yourself in the blood of Jesus Christ. You need to ask God, God, cleanse me from my sin. Cleanse me. Create in me a clean heart. As David says in Psalm 51, Jeremiah 4:14, it says, O Jerusalem, it says, wash thy heart from thy wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. Wash your heart. Well, how does a person wash their heart? You know something? You humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Just like David did after he committed adultery with Bathsheba, David says, Lord, forgive me for my sins and create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Then David says, then will I teach sinners thy way, and sinners will be changed to you. We need to be cleansed on a regular basis. That's why you go to church. Why? The word cleanses you. That's why we read the Bible. Why? The word creates in you a clean heart. The word will cleanse your mind, it'll cleanse your thoughts, and it'll cleanse your heart. I try to get people to understand this on a regular basis. That Bible is the most important thing in your life. It's more important than anything in your life, because that is what teaches you how to live. That is what teaches you how to think. That is what teaches you how to behave. That Bible is the very thing that God shows you on how to live righteously and morally. The Bible is the most important thing. It's what strengthens us. It's what sustains us. It's what builds us up. The Word of God, most important thing. Now, after you understood this, right? We wake up. We wash up, we dress up, then we have to armor up. There's gonna be a battle. You see, it's not just enough to put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just enough to be clothed in his righteousness. It's not just enough to put on the love and the grace of Almighty God. But now we've gotta armor up and get ready for battle. Now, go to the book of Colossians. I do want you to see this. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. Colossians 3 and verse 8. If you haven't found it, just pay attention and look along. Colossians 3 and verse 8. But now ye also, Listen to what it says. It says, see, there are things that you have to put off. It says, put off all these. Number one, anger. You know what you got to do when you get mad? Take it off. You say, how do I do that? You just take it off like you're taking off a shirt. You know, everyone here knows anger is wrong, right? How many guys know that? It's, you don't disrespect your mom. You don't get angry at your people next to you. Listen, people are going to do dumb things. I tell my kids, don't drop to their level. You understand what that means? Don't do the dumb things that they do. What do? Just like in that song, you know, you're gonna when they talk about you, you're going to talk about them on your knees and praying. The Bible says, put off anger. Well, when anger begins to come upon you, and anger begins to creep its ugly claws into your mind, in your emotions, you've got to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how do I do that? With the living Word of God. See, you know that anger, listen guys, anger is a part of our sinful nature. Anger is something that you carry everywhere you go, but you've got to take it off every day of your life. You've got to take it off. It says, take it off. Look what it says again, right? It says, put off all these. Number one, anger. Number two, wrath. Number three, malice. That's malicious behavior, not acting correctly. Blasphemy. How about this one? Filthy communication. Did you know your words are very serious? How many guys knew that by your words you'll be justified and by your words you'll be condemned? Did you know the Bible says that you've got to give an account out of for every word you ever spoke? You ever think about that? That Bible says, let your speech be with what? Grace, seasoned with salt. We've got to watch what we talk about. Watch how we communicate. It says, put off all these. Put them off. Put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. Don't lie. Seeing that you have, now it says here, seeing that you have put off the what? The old man. You see that? After you've been quickened by the Spirit of God, you know what God wants to do? He wants you to take that old man, that sinful nature, and bury it. You understand what that means? Listen, when Jesus died on that cross, right? He died on a cross, right? To give you victory over sin. He just didn't die for your sin. He died to give you and I victory over sin. That Bible says, reckon yourselves therefore to be what? Dead unto sin, but what? Alive unto God. That's why you got saved. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It says, put him off. Now look what it says here. And put off the old man with his deeds. The things you used to do, stop doing them. The way you used to act, stop doing it. Listen, when you go home back to camp this week, you better be a different person. Don't do the things you used to do. Don't give the attitude, the language. Don't be bitter. Do what your parents ask you to do. Behave in a godly fashion. Let them see the Spirit of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let them see that you've put off all those old things and that you come home as a new creature in Christ. And old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. You be that person. You be that new child. Then he goes on. Listen to this. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And listen to this. And have put on, look what it says, the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. So what do? We put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how do we do that? By getting to know Jesus Christ, by the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Here's how it works, right? If you hang out with somebody that is a bad seed, you become a bad seed. Birds of a feather, what? They flock together, right? Listen, my father used to say, hey, if you lie down with the dogs, you're going to get the fleas. But when you start to spend time with Jesus in his word, and you start to spend time amongst godly people, you become more like Jesus Christ. You know what the greatest thing is in Christianity? Is that we become like Jesus Christ. He's molding us and shaping us into his image through his word, through this camp, through the preaching and the teaching of the word of God, God is molding you and shaping you into a new creature in Christ. You were quickened. You were raised from the dead. The eyes of your understanding have been enlightened. Now all of a sudden, God wants to transform you into the very image of who Jesus Christ is. It says here, and put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. And listen to this, verse 12, it says, put ye therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness. This is how we have to act. These are the things we have to put on. We have to put on kindness. We have to put on humbleness. We have to put on meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel or a fight or an argument against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now listen to this. And above all these things, put on charity. What does it mean, charity? It means love, unconditional love. We have to put it on. See, after you've been quickened, after you've been awake by the Holy Spirit of God, you take off those dirty things and you put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You put on the new nature. Now, it's not just enough to put those things on. Now you've got to not just clean up, put those things off. Now you've got to armor up. Now we've got to get you ready for combat. Tomorrow night, we're going to talk about stand up and line up. But right now, we've got to armor you up. You have got to get ready for the spiritual battle. Praise God, some, most of you guys were brought up in a Christian home. But I'm asking, especially you older kids, are you aware of the evil that is in this world? Are you aware that Satan goes about as a roaring lion seeking may devour? Are you aware of that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, that there is a spiritual war zone? That if you're not aware of it, and your senses, and your discernment, and your wisdom hasn't been heightened through the word of the living God, you won't last in the battle. You won't last. You won't last. It's a battle. The battle is for your mind, your heart, and your soul. You won't last. Go to the book of Ephesians now. We all know these scriptures, but let's see if we can apply them. We just seen a lot of things we need to put on. But now we need to put those things on, but now we need to armor up. Now we need to get ready for combat. Now we need to get ready for war. It says here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. You've got to put on the armor. You've got to be clothed in the armor of God. One of the most important things in combat and in war is that you have to have on the correct armor. You need to know how to fight. You need to know the devices of the devil. The Bible says we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Guys, we need to be able to withstand the attacks of the enemy. Now, I'm not going to elaborate on all of the points of the armor. But there's something unique about this, that each one of these goes back to the word of God. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. It says here, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So we're not wrestling in the physical realm. We are wrestling in the supernatural, the eternal. We are wrestling against demons. We're in a spiritual war. Then it says here, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. Did you see that? Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Guys, there's a spiritual battle going on. When you leave this camp, boy, the enemy is going to attack. Because you came here, you got awoken. You've got shaken. We're trying to build you up and strengthen you. And guess what? The enemy is going to attack. He's going to attack. There's a spiritual war going on that I can't make you see this. The Spirit of the living God has to open up your eyes to see this spiritual battle that's going on. And God will use the preaching, and God will use the Word of God, but you have to be aware of what is taking place. I told you that story when I just began to preach, is because God was showing me something at a young age that I was going to remember for the rest of my life, how frail life is, and that there's an unseen realm and an unseen world. Some of us just kind of just ignore life as though we have all day and all time, and we ignore the spiritual battle in the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm and the spiritual battle that is going on is more of a reality than what you see and what you feel and what you can touch. Do you guys understand what I just said? We don't look at the things that are seen. They're temporal. But the things that are not seen are eternal. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness. Now, Paul is writing to the people at Ephesus. These were the people that were involved in witchcraft and idolatry and sorcery. Do you remember when Paul went into that city and they burned all their curious arts? They burned their books and their artifacts and their idols. They burned everything. So these people were aware of the spiritual realm. So Paul writes this to them to open up their eyes and their understanding to what is going on. And then Paul says in verse 13, wherefore, because we're in this spiritual battle, because we're in this spiritual war, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Why? That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. We're going to talk about that tomorrow, taking a stand in the evil day. Look what he says. And having done all to stand, stand therefore having your loins girt about with what? Truth. Now it's funny because the Bible says thy word is what? It's truth. It's truth. The word of God is the only truth we have. Then it says, and having on the breastplate of what? Righteousness. Not your righteousness, that's Christ's righteousness. The breastplate is what protects your heart. And then he says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. You carry the gospel wherever you go. Everywhere you go, you carry the gospel. You bring the word of the living God. And then he says here, and above all things, take the shield of faith. Take the shield of faith. Why? The Bible says faith come by hearing, and hearing by the what, people? The word of God. Take the shield of faith. Why? So you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And the helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit. Which is the what? The word of God. We're in a battle. You know, when Brother Bob says we're going to do some sword drills. You know what he's trying to teach you? How to handle the sword, the word of God. Because one of the most important things in battle is that you can handle your weapon. And if you can't handle your weapon, what good is it? You need to learn that book more than you need to learn anything in your life. That book is the most important thing in your life, and it's your sword, it's your weapon, it's your shield. You know something? You know what made David the great warrior that he was? Not that he could sling a sling, not that he knew how to use a sword, it was the Spirit of the living God in him. David was one of the greatest warriors that ever was. What did David write? The longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119. Why? Why was David in love with the Word of God? Because of the result and the effect that it had in his life. And David became a great leader and a great king because he read the Word of the living God. And David let that Word of God shape him and mold him and conform him to be the greatest king that Israel ever had. David would write in Psalm 119, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. You know why he loved the word? Because of the impact and the influence that it had in his life. Everything in this camp is based on the living word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The word of God's the most important thing you have in your life. If you back up in Ephesians, it says, stand. Stand. Tomorrow I'm going to talk to you about standing up and then lining up for battle. But it's up to you to say, I am going to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and I am going to put on the armor of God every day of my life so I can withstand the attacks of the devil. I know it's so hard for some of you to wrap your minds around, especially some of the young kids, but you older kids, the devil's after you. He's after you. And if you don't armor up and stand up, he will get you. I've preached over 100 funerals, hands down. Over 100, hands down. Because I've seen Christians who didn't armor up and they couldn't withstand the onslaught or the attack of the evil one. Born again Christians, saved by the blood, washed in the blood, cleansed in the blood, but lost the battle. They lost the battle. They didn't have on the armor. They didn't know how to use the shield. And they lost the battle. My question to you is, you've got to decide. Are you going to armor up and be ready every day of your life to go out into a world where there's demonic spirits and the devil himself and everything in this world is geared towards taking you out? Everything. Not just the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of this life. The devil will use all that as bait to choke you out. And then ultimately, he has an attack on your life. There's a hit on you as a Christian. And the closer you get to God, the more the attack is there. Are you going to armor up as a child of God? You've got to make that choice. Am I going to put on the armor of God every day of my life, and I am going to gear up for battle every day of my life? The question is up to you. Tomorrow we're going to talk about taking a stand for Jesus. You might have to take a stand at home, at school. You've got to stand for the word of the living God, because you've got things that are coming against you from the front, from the back, from the side, from every angle. They're going to come at you, and you've got to have a good stance. You know, one of the most important things in any combat sport is your stance. You've got to have balance. You've got to have stability. Your stance. Are you going to be able to stand in the evil day? Because that day is coming.